I'm joined by Murat today, who's the founder of a company called Marvel. So thanks for joining, Murat. I know you're over in London on a 4G connection, so let's see how this one goes connection-wise.
No problem at all.
Maybe we could just start by quickly having you describe Marvel and the business and the product that you guys have built.
Yeah, sure. So Marvel is a two-year-old startup now, and what we do is provide a prototyping and collaboration and also design platform to allow people to take static mock-ups, which can be wireframes, PSDs, sketch files, and turn those into interactive mobile and web prototypes without needing to code.
Hmm. Okay, so you're like a SaaS-based service, obviously. It's available for free, right? It's like a freemium model that you have.
We've got a paid model, and we also have a freemium model. And the freemium model is quite generous. It's kind of unlimited projects for free. You can kind of prototype to your heart's content. And we have paid features that focus more around just the bits and pieces that businesses might need. So downloading your prototype for offline presentations, collaboration tools, password protection, and a few things like that.
Yeah. Do you think it's important for you guys to have a free plan? Is that something that you need to do in your space?
Yeah, I mean, well, it actually didn't happen almost like it just happened without us thinking. So when we built Marvel, it was as a side project, and this wasn't that long ago, really, as startups go. It was like summer of 2013. So we started just messing around even in the weekends, and kind of by the end of the summer we had it. And the reason why we didn't add anything to it, because we didn't even expect anyone to use it.
Okay.
So we didn't add any paid features. We just made it freemium. We just wanted to put it out there and see if anyone liked it. And so that stuck. And as we kind of went through the different phases of angel funding, seed funding, like, we just left unlimited projects for free. And to be honest, it's probably one of the smartest things we've done. It gets people through the door so quickly and easily, and they just feel like there's no catches. And they can continue to use it and see the value of it, and then hopefully convert. But there's definitely something to be said for allowing people like unlimited creativity, and the type of market we're in and how busy it is as well with all the other options. I think it stands out a lot. Everyone else is like one project for free or a 30-day trial, and that isn't really enough, I don't think, to get the most out of something. And projects don't always work that way as well. Your second project in is the one that is the one that really hooks you, because it provided some serious value, not the one that you just quickly made just to see what this button does, or that 30-day trial that ends just before you really understand what the value is of something. So that's kind of how we stumbled upon it, I guess, and left it.
Okay. You say you never really planned it for it to take off and become a full-time thing. What was like the inflection point where you realized, oh, this is actually turning into something, and we can grow this into something much bigger?
I'll be honest, it was a mixture of two things. One was that me and my co-founder Brendan couldn't continue to work at the places we were working at because we were so bored. So that happened, and we knew that was coming to an end. Like, we can't work in any more agencies and on these projects. But then what happened after that is when we released it kind of got a couple of hundred users in the first week, a couple of hundred more, and then by the end of the month we had 800 users, all fairly active as well. So we were like, oh, this could be a thing. So once that amount of people signed up, we were like, right, this is something we can probably take out and look for investment. So it was just a mixture of the work situation, and then seeing that people actually like this thing on a large scale. And 800 people it seemed like a massive amount at the time. But it had enough validation to go out and speak to some investors. So that was cool.
Sure. So how did you launch it? Did you just kind of put it out there and let it run free? Or was there a plan around that? And did you actively kind of promote it?
So the way we did it was, I'm pretty active in any design community. So Dribbble, Designer News, and I had my own blog at the time, which I still kind of do, but I don't ever post it anymore. And I had a subscriber list that I had built up over a few years, just writing blog posts. So I had a thousand or two on there. And then the designer news thing worked really well. We put it onto designer news, and it was just a coming soon page, and it was like prototype with Dropbox, as that was the only way you could upload a file at the time, because we built the entire platform off their API, and no one else had really done that. So it kind of caught people's attention, and it got us a really big coming soon list, probably about a couple of thousand people.
Okay.
So you know, we had a nice chunk of people who were kind of interested in the product from the off. And yeah, just kept pushing it on Twitter, kept pushing on like LinkedIn groups and Quora, and then all these other places that I could just do it for free. And that was it. Like, there was no real understanding of a launch strategy. It was just like, let's just use the things that I use every day and see if people like it.
That's cool. That's cool. So, I mean, there's a lot of design prototyping tools out there at the moment, right? I see. Probably it seems like almost every week on Designer News there's a new prototyping tool. So what do you think made you guys see some success from this, and what is it about Marvel that kind of made it kind of emerge from this sea of prototyping tools?
Yeah, well, I mean, the good thing is that we were slightly before the major gold rush. I mean, it started to really pick up in the last 12 months, like, I think, but before then there weren't really too many tools out there. In fact, I didn't, you know, when we started building Marvel in our spare time, I really didn't even know about anything else. Like, I didn't know I actually thought we were the first people to do it, which is quite a funny thing. I should have done my market research better, but there wasn't that many options out there. And then as prototyping became more and more important to the process, and people were like, oh, we really need this, like, why aren't we doing this? It makes no sense to not have this as in our workflow. As that attitude to it started to pick up, so did like the people sign up to Marvel. And I think the reason why we got loads of just love out of people is because we had the Dropbox integration, which meant that files updated automatically and your prototypes updated, which helps a designer save hours each day, right? So your client comes along and says, like, oh, I want to change the logo on those 50 PSDs. You usually have to do, you would have to save each one out as a PNG, drag it back into whatever prototype and tool you use, and do all that over and over again. But our one, yeah, just updated on the fly. So that was pretty good, and that helped a lot. It was a magic kind of moment. Also, you could, early on when we were Dropbox only, you could sign up with one click, which made it really easy if you were, most people were already logged into Dropbox as well. So it was really easy just to get people on board. And then on top of that, I just always wanted to keep it simple. So instead of doing like three clicks to do something, do one or do two. And even if you, that little part of it, you can save someone one click, it just seems to have massive impact. Like, people just, when it becomes more intuitive and just easy to use, like, you know, that benefits, because your market increases. You can get more people through the door, and they understand what you know, this whole thing does. So yeah, unintimidating software with kind of like a friendly face. Got inspired a lot by MailChimp and those sorts of things, and the way they use illustration and talk to people. So I think all of that stuff, it just came together. And it was just like, yeah, you know, we could use these other more complicated prototyping tools, but this one's going to do it the quickest. And the reality is, like, in a day-to-day workplace, like, you just want to get stuff done so you can move on to doing something else. And you don't want to spend 2 days making a prototype, because that defeats the purpose of the prototype. It's meant to be thrown away. And I felt like a lot of tools focused on, like, how, you know, how complex and you know, real this prototype can be, where we were like, no, you can just do it really quickly. We might not get you all the way there in terms of realism, but we'll get, you know, the amount of time you save, you know, you'll be happy with that. Yeah. So I think that's kind of where we came from, and it seems to have done really well.
Yeah, I definitely think, like, reducing friction, whether it be through sign up or through kind of any part of the product, is a huge thing. And I can see that you guys have put a lot of effort into that, and especially with your, I mean, even just with the design of your site. You mentioned MailChimp as one of your kind of inspirations. Are there any other, like, SaaS products or people that you've kind of been inspired by with Marvel?
Yeah, I think anything that isn't that kind of blends emotion, sass, and utility. So, I mean, I tend to lean towards things like, I love Vine, like Tumblr, those sorts of tools, and you know, Snapchat as well. Like those things, I think are, I know they're not exactly the type of inspiration that most, like if you're serving enterprise customers and stuff, you take from, but they're so fun. Like everything about them, just like the little details, like the smiley faces, the colors, the bits and the transitions, all those things. I think if you can blend them into a tool that services, that can somehow service, you know, SaaS and consumers as well, like I just think it's a perfect mix. And also it makes it more fun to work on. That is the main thing as well. The reason why Marvel looks like where it does is because I didn't want to make something boring.
Sure.
Which could have been so easy to do.
Yeah. Did you build it for yourself?
Yeah. It was just to serve like my own problem at an agency, which was that we kept presenting work in, PowerPoints and PDF presentations and email attachments to clients, and we continuously lost pitches. So you know, I was just like, why are we doing this? Like, we're spending all this time making mobile mock-ups in Retina resolution, only to hand it over to someone who puts in a PowerPoint with clipart and logos everywhere. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you. So obviously, like your background is in design, and you've clearly done a lot of jobs or work in the design creative space.
Yeah.
How is it for you turning something into a full time business and actually running it as a founder? Does that part appeal to you as well, or do you also see yourself as a designer?
I don't know. I think it just came part and parcel with it. I think that if you have an idea and you want to see it succeed, I just felt like the business side of things and all those bits and pieces just slotted in. I think that I'd love designing, I really do, and the reality is like getting less and less time to do that now as the team's expanding and we're trying to do different things, which is a shame, but I still, you know, it's still a passion, and I can hopefully inspire others to, you know, to take the lead and make this a great product and a great business. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't ever see myself as like a leader of a big company, but it just happens. And, didn't really do stuff differently in any way. It just felt like you just progress through these different stages, and then you just learn and you keep learning, and then, you know, you suddenly you wake up one day and there's like a bunch of people in office with you, like, how did you guys get here?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, no, it's an interesting journey. Again, it's like you just keep learning, and hopefully like the things that you believe in you can instill into others. I hope that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest things you've learned in turning Marvel into something that was a side project, into a full scale product?
Oh, wow. There's a few things. I think the major one is that it takes a long time to build a great product. So in your head, it's just like, here's some PSDs and this will get made. And it's just like, actually to build like a mature, high, like top class product, it takes years. There's no quick fix for it. The stories you read in TechCrunch or whatever, when you're not even done with your side project and you're thinking, yeah, if we can just do that, those things, those stories, the real background to them is they took years to get to where they got to. Like even Slack and these other companies, like that wasn't an overnight success. It took like loads of failure, loads of hard work, and a big team as well. And I kind of naively thought, yeah, you only need a small group of people to take this off the ground. But, you know, once you start getting those customer support emails, you're going to start realizing that you need someone handling that. And then you want to start doing blogging and content. You need someone to handle that. And you think you could do it all yourself, but you can't. So now I'm realizing that the more you can delegate, the better it is for the business. And there was a really good quote. I can't remember who said it. It's like each month you should be delegating 10% of your job away. And if you really want to do a successful business, so that's kind of something I'm learning right now. And I think it's very true. I think that if you don't if you don't understand that everyone, so you have to just let go of different parts of the products, you just won't end up going anywhere.
Do you do any like content marketing or you have quite a big presence in the design community? I guess that's something you can, well, you obviously leverage it when you launched, but
yeah, so blogging turns out is really difficult to do. I could do it, but I can't. What we're doing now is we have a couple of people lined up who are going to take on our content strategy.
Okay.
And it's really exciting because that part, like they're extremely talented, and I think that the way we do content should be different from everyone else as well. I think there's a lot of stuff out there that's just not very good. So I want to hit that, and I want to make it, make sure that when we do it the right way and the best way.
Sure.
So yeah, funny enough, I think the last blog post we wrote, I mean, we write like two a month, and it's terrible and it's really bad, but we are going to sort that out. I mean, and the great thing is, like, we're doing what we're doing now, and getting the reach we're getting without all of that. So if once we optimize Marvel, and we get it back and get it up into new website design, new blog design, which is coming, new web app, and all of that stuff. Once it's out, and it feels like we'll have all these different parts of the products all just revving and ticking over, and it'll be really good. But right now, it's like it's still kind of. It's like if you go to the website, I mean, the blog's a WordPress template we've got on ThemeForest.
Yeah.
Like it's that all this stuff was done really quickly by me late at night. And now that we're having a team and we're starting to grow a design team and we're starting to grow a front end team and a back end team and this content team. So all of that will start coming together soon, and we can start experimenting more.
Yeah, no, I've definitely spoken to a lot of people who, when the growth is just that fast, you just don't have time to fill in small optimizations, because actually you don't need to. Like, you're just busy chasing the crazy acceleration, and for some people that just continues. Like they almost never have time to go back and fix the small things and redesign the site and stuff. But that's obviously not a bad position to be in.
No, it's quite I wouldn't have expected it to be like this, when we first started. So it's pretty cool. It's cool. A pretty cool problem to have.
How's London for you and the scene there? Like, you guys are all based in London, right?
We are, yeah. We do have the core team is based here. We have three remote. So we're 13 in total. So three of us are remote, and that's co-founder in Mauritius and Columns in Dublin and Elliot's in Boston. So we never really thought we'd be a kind of remote team, but we are slightly, and so that's something that's new to us as well.
Do you think it'll stay like that?
I think that with exceptional people, I think that you just have to make sure that you do whatever it takes to get them on board. And if it means they work remotely, then they work remotely, and we're cool with that. But I think that there are massive benefits to being in the same place. And it feels like you do go through the highs and lows together that way. And, you had a really tough week, and then Friday comes, you'll go for a drink and you go for a meal. And there's, all of that stuff you just can't really have when you're remote in your teams everywhere else. So I think we're a lot closer in like the way we do things together, and the friendships that are there, that it does help a lot when you're growing a business, you've got a bunch of people that you can trust, and you can have that you could just say, look, everything went really bad today, let's just go get a drink and then forget about it and stuff. That's kind of nice to have.
Yeah, definitely. You guys are you quite involved in the startup scene there in London, or how do you see it?
We are to an extent, but actually I don't think it's really that lively here.
Okay.
Just honestly, my gut feeling doesn't feel like there's too much stuff going on. There probably is, but and we're in a WeWork in Moorgate, and so we're in with a lot of startups, but I don't know. I don't really feel that same vibe as I got when I went to San Francisco. Obviously you wouldn't, because it's London anyway.
Yeah, it's also probably raining.
Yeah, it's raining. It's about to rain right now, actually. But yeah, I mean, it's nothing like San Francisco. That, like, San Francisco just feels like it has energy. Like, you know, you walk around, you go to places, it just feels like everyone's being creative and buzzing around and doing stuff. But it doesn't really feel like that here. And that could be a good thing, because it feels like in San Francisco, it doesn't feel like there's anything else. Like, it's just about the tech. But here, you know, you speak to people they meet you, like, what do you do? It's like, oh, we're gonna start. They don't care. They don't care what you do. And I mean, in San Francisco, everyone cares that you just do, like, tech stuff. So that part of it's cool. But I mean, the scene here, I mean, I don't know. I don't think London's quite there yet. It probably has a long way to go. Or maybe it won't get there. Maybe we're just in the type of town it is. You know, it's not suited towards the kind of spirit they have in San Francisco. And that's fine as well, because, you know, people are different, cultures different. But
do you see that you would need to build a presence over there eventually? Or is it possible to stick it out in London?
Probably. I don't know. I mean, we get asked that a lot by investors. And I can imagine that there'll be a point where you do need to have a presence there. I would also like just to not do that, and also be like, we did it all in London. You know, we kind of blazed the trail, and we built a massive SaaS product and did that all from not having to move, and kind of show, be a good example of what can be done. And so, yeah, I mean, it's something that we think about, but there's no plans at the moment.
Okay, cool. So I guess we're fairly short on time. I'm just going to ask you one more thing. I was doing a bit of digging through some stuff that I've seen you've worked on in the past, and I found it pretty interesting. You worked on, like, a dashboard for the Prime Minister.
Oh yeah, that was.
I'm sorry to drag it up, but it caught my eye.
Yeah, so that the history behind that is that I was working in an agency at the time, and the agency had secured the government this government project, and I was like, they were like, can you sit on it? So it turns out it was David Cameron wanted a iPad dashboard to see how the country was doing. So you can just look at it and just see, you know, are there hospital waiting times gone up or gone down? Is there, you know, what's the state of the how many empty beds are there in hospitals? And he'll be able to look at this thing and just see it. The trouble is, the data wasn't real time, so it was like some of it was like updated once every month. So okay. In some parts, it probably wasn't that useful because of their data set wasn't that great at the time. It's probably a lot better now. But that's the story. And I didn't get to meet him. And
okay.
I did go to number 10, though. I went to number 10. And, you know, they made a big deal that they were giving us free tea and biscuits, because apparently they don't give that out to many people. So that's the kind of place it was really weird. It was really weird to be in the number 10 talking about this little dashboard thing that I designed. And I don't know what happened to it after that, actually. I think it did actually make its way into, it was kind of more like an experiment for them, and then they wanted to see if they would turn it into the real thing. So I think they might have, but
it's just funny to me to think that even guys like him want a dashboard for measuring metrics that they care about, and you know, I just imagine him like taking a glance at it and being like, oh, everything's green, it's fine.
Like, exactly. It's like if the little needle goes into the red, he just calls a bunch of people up on the phone, gives them help.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, that was probably the most interesting project I did there.
Okay.
So yeah, that was something I ended up putting on my CV.
Do you miss like the agency stuff? Is that something that you enjoyed, or is working on something longer term is much more fulfilling for you, I guess?
Oh man, yeah. I mean, there is no way that anything I did at the agency could touch this. I think the best thing that happened at the agency is that there is real good social at agencies. Like, you go out, there's always free food. People just, it's quite, it depends on what agency you go to, but generally people just really enjoy the social side of things there. And the agency puts a lot of effort into that. So that part I kind of enjoyed. Just the work, though, I mean, it got to the point where I was looking at my portfolio and I was like, if I continue working here, I'll wake up one day and there will be nothing I would want to show anyone.
Okay.
And there's only so many like apps you can do that sell moisturizing cream and soap and you know, these sorts of things. And it's just like, well, you know, who cares about this new moisturizing cream coming out? And it definitely doesn't need an app. But that was the kind of thing I was designing. And I remember that I wasn't, my portfolio was just full of all this stuff, and I wasn't able to get a job at kind of major tech startups, like, because I just didn't have any product experience. So I was like, I need to do something else. And that's when I kind of wanted to start working on a product, you know, and put everything into it. So, so yeah, it's way more fulfilling doing a product. You know, you have real people that you take care of. You know, there's a lot more invested in emotionally. So yeah, it's definitely a lot better. And also I kind of, I wrote a post about how bad agencies were, and I don't think I'd get hired again.
There's no going back now.
Yeah, there's no going back now.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. So thanks so much for taking the time. I think this is really insightful to get your perspective on what you're doing with Marvel and your past. Is there anything that you want to kind of shout out before we go? Like if you guys are hiring or something, or...
Yeah, so we're actually always hiring now. We're pretty much hiring every position, from back-end developers, front-end developers, content, sales, design, anything that a startup needs, we're hiring for.
Sounds good.
So yeah, you can find those details at the bottom of our website. There's a jobs link, and just also thanks for a great product. You know, it was been great for us, and it's saved me a lot of time as well. I used to do stuff with Excel spreadsheets, and it was a nightmare coming at the end of every month when we did the reports. So it saves a lot of time, so thank you for that.
Cool. No, thanks. It's kind words. Cool. So yeah, thanks for taking the time to talk to me, and I hope you have a good rest of your weekend.
Thanks, man.
All right, cheers. Murat.
Bye.